Well, it's Thanksgiving time again, and in the United States, this national holiday is celebrated with a turkey, a bird native to North America. So far, I'm spending the day looking for birds to feed rather than to eat. As I hang out here with these five beautiful white ducks, I'm reminded of the symbolic role birds play in mythology, with no greater example than the phoenix, which plays a significant part as an alchemical sign of the resurrection of the soul. This ancient theme of a death and rebirth was most commonly associated with the cyclical pattern produced by celestial bodies, most notably the setting and rising of the sun. While solar religions are defined by their adherents' worship of the sun, this is an oversimplification, where the sun is revered as a symbol of light, and more specifically, light in a spiritual context. During the Hellenistic period, religious policy required that the gods in all religious cultures conquered by the Greeks were to portray their gods with human characters in statues and in scripture. Failure to do so could result in death. It is for this reason that Thomas Paine, who was very influential in American history around the time of the American Revolution, once said, quote, "The Christian religion is a parody on the worship of the sun, in which they put a man they call Christ in the place of the sun and pay him the same adoration which was originally paid to the sun." While many Christians will find this statement as blasphemous, as there's many aspects of modern Christianity that is admittedly unrelated to any other sect or belief, most Christians will concede that certain aspects of their faith stem from earlier pagan roots, such as Christmas trees, mistletoe, and the birth date of Jesus coinciding with the winter solstice, also shared by many other solar deities, from Mithra to Horus. Since the gospel does not mention the exact date of his birth, the anniversary of his nativity was not celebrated by the early church. It seems clear that when the church, in the 4th century AD, adopted December 25th as his birthday, it was in order to transfer the prior archetypal devotions honoring the blessed birth of the Son to Jesus, who was called the Son of Righteousness.
So, let's just take a few moments then together and try to remember, why is Christmas Day on December the 25th?
Ring, ring, ring-a-ding.
It's the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a midwinter solstice. It's a pagan festival that's been appropriated by Christianity.
There is a great deal of truth in that. It was indeed, there's a Teutonic, Celtic and pagan view that if you've survived the winter solstice on the 21st of December, you have a feast to celebrate. But also, there was the Roman god.
Was it Saturnalia?
There was the Saturnalia, was also at that time of year, but there was Mithras. He was a saviour, Mithras, sent to earth to live as a mortal, through whom it was possible for sinners to be reborn into immortal life. He died for our sins, but came back to life the following Sunday. He was born of a virgin on December the 25th in a manger, or perhaps a cave, attended by shepherds, and became known as the light of the world. He had 12 disciples with whom he shared a last meal before dying. His devotees symbolically consumed the flesh and blood of him. Because Mithras was a sun god, he was worshipped on Sundays. And Mithraists gave each other gifts on December the 25th. The leader of the religion was called a papa, and their HQ was on Vatican Hill in Rome. Well, a lot of Christian scholars have since been very angry at some of this research which came out in 1903 about Mithraists, and they claim it's nonsense. There's a great deal in Christianity that is traditional. And however wonderful people think the story is, it's frankly not original.
By looking at the Gospels through the eyes of an astronomer, we can understand why the Gospels follow the same story outline. The tale of Jesus, or of the sun, takes place within one zodiac year, which is divided into 12, the same number as Jesus' apostles. By breaking down the Gospels according to each of the 12 zodiac constellations, we can track Jesus, Jupiter, which has a 12-year orbit along the sun's ecliptic through the references to each motif that the constellations correspond to. Astronomical timetables are enumerated into 12 ages, which not only speaks to the 12 months of the solar year, but on a great cycle spanning almost 26,000 years. The age of Pisces began around 6 BC, which is why the latter parts of the Gospels refer often to fish. That said, constellations play a pivotal role in astrotheology, and today I'd like to focus on the role of the unicorn. Monoceros is Latin for unicorn, and is a name of the constellation of the unicorn, only visible in the winter months in the northern sky. Then it disappears from view, reappearing again the following winter, and so appears to die, but then is reborn again the following winter, December 25th, which also coincides with the winter solstice, where the sun is reborn. So, in an astrological context, the unicorn has been associated and represents Christ. During the medieval period, the church demonized astrology. In other words, it was not allowed for the general public. While Christian writings interpret the unicorn and its death to Jesus, certain occult circles regard an esoteric significance to it, which predates Christianity altogether. Where Christian scholars interpret some aspects of the unicorn as an allegory for Christ's relationship with the Virgin Mary, the pagan myths involving the unicorn's horn refer to sacred acts that require a virgin, or at least elements of chastity, the unicorn symbolic of purity, and that divine energy that many call God or goddess. The Hunt of the Unicorn are a set of 7 unicorn tapestries that date back to the Middle Ages, which were purchased by John D. Rockefeller Jr. in 1922 for about $1 million, which translates to $25 million in today's money.
As a result of father's and mother's interest in medieval art and architecture, when they heard from a dealer in France whom they'd known and through whom they'd bought a certain number of things, of the availability of a remarkable set of Gothic tapestries called the Unicorn Tapestries. I think this was back in the 20s. They were delighted to be able to buy them. This was certainly one of the most wonderful acquisitions that my parents were ever able to acquire. While my parents rarely talked about the symbolism in the tapestries, they did tell me the story of the hunt of the unicorn. The unicorn, they explained, is the symbol of Christ, and the resurrection is represented in the last tapestries, where the unicorn has revived after having been killed by hunters.
Of course, the number 7 holds occult significance in itself, and the tapestries depict scenes which can be interpreted in an astrological context, such as this one, which shows 12 hunters, which represent the 12 houses of the zodiac. The scenes range from the start of the hunt, to the unicorn being attacked, captured and made docile by a virgin, then killed, then appearing in the castle in captivity, but alive or resurrected. The tapestries are very rich in symbolism, both astrologically and in an esoteric or sacred sex and or spiritual context, and too much for me to cover in detail in such a short video. That said, there's another aspect of the unicorn mythology that I wanted to touch on, which was denied by the tradition of the medieval Roman Church, that Jesus may have been a father and not just the celibate son of God, but the horn of the unicorn, the symbol for his virility, could purify the polluted waters, so to speak. As we see here, the unicorn and the maiden and the purification of the stream. The church fathers who recognize the unicorn as a symbol for Jesus Christ explain his head in the lap of the maiden by explaining that Jesus is trying to return to the womb of his mother. Clearly, this is a stretch and an attempt by the church patriarchs to take away any sexual connotation of his horn. Not only that, but any insinuation that Jesus fathered any children, that any offspring or bloodlines existed. In fact, some Gnostic sects, such as the Cathars, believed Jesus was never crucified or that he had survived the crucifixion and had come to southern France to escape further persecution. Southern France, which is also near Basque Country, incidentally, has among the highest concentration of Rh negative blood type, and also suffered the greatest death toll during the Inquisition, with a near total extermination of the Cathars at the hands of the church. In the hunt tapestries, popular in the Middle Ages, the unicorn is hunted and viciously attacked by dogs. Since the pure white unicorn is a symbol for Christ, it has been suggested that in the hunt for the unicorn tapestries, the unicorn represented the Cathar faith, hounded and eventually destroyed by the Vatican in the 13th century. The word Cathar comes from the Greek katharoi, meaning pure. While most modern historians and religious scholars will interpret purity to imply a purity of faith, in certain occult and esoteric organizations, this is understood to mean a genetic or racial purity, where an allegedly chosen people were targeted during the Inquisition, which especially vilified women, as they were the ones regarded as the carriers of the bloodline, and labeled as witches, who were then eliminated, usually by torture or being burned alive. Prior to World War II, the German nationalist organization known as the Annenerbe organized a team of SS researchers to collect records of historical witchcraft trials that had taken place in the lands of the expanding Reich. The ideological pretext for this undertaking was the collection of evidence demonstrating an anti-German or anti-Aryan crusade by the church. Wow, these geese are lucky Thanksgiving is about turkey, or their goose would be cooked. Just kidding, I couldn't resist. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon, as well as through various other major book outlets. They make a great gift. If you'd like to support my work, you could do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description section for those that are interested. I appreciate it. Thank you. Please hit the like button and subscribe for future updates. As always, I look forward to reading your comments, so please leave me your thoughts below. Please have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.